Come with us on a journey into the unknown, the unexplained, and the unbelievable. We will test your senses and challenge your beliefs. A world where science and religion clash. Or do they? You will meet real people and hear real stories, but you will not believe. You will witness strange sights and hear strange sounds, but you will not believe. This is the New England Ghost Project. Welcome to the
Hey, good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Ron McAvey Show.
Hey? Yeah, sure.
Hey.
He likes to stand.
He likes to stand. I don't know why he does, but I was always wondered that. So maybe he's got a bad back. I never knew that.
I run into people in the business who like to stand when they work.
They do?
Yeah.
Yeah, when I think about it, I did Spooky South Coast one time, and Tim was doing it, or one of the guys was doing it. Anyways, but I always thought it was weird. So here I am standing. That'll be interesting.
And one newswoman who's standing in barefoot all the time. That was the thing.
I'm pregnant?
No. As far as I know.
Remember that saying?
barefoot pregnant? Yeah, I remember that saying.
Yeah, whatever. Anyways, you're listening to Ghost Chronicles Morning Edition. I am Ron Kolick, and that is the Professor Lou Blasey. And we are back. So, lots of things I want to discuss, and I don't know how much is paranormal, but it always is. First thing is on my show, the international show with Steve Parsons, I had an anthropologist on.
Okay.
And she is into all kinds of trouble now because.
Of your show?
Yeah. Well, before the show, I brought her on. We talked about the reasons. And the reasons is that when you find a skeleton, she classifies it, as most anthropologists do, as either male or female.
Right.
And that's what it is.
Because that's what they are, yeah.
And there are a lot of people that are really upset about that.
Because the skeleton was given a gender?
Could have been a gay person, could have been a trigendral maxicon. But I just made that up. I like it, though. Trigendral maxicon. I classify myself that because I can class myself as anything now, right? So a trigendral maxicon. What do you think?
Sure. I like it.
I
need T-shirts.
Oh, speaking about that, there you go. Got my little pen.
What does it say? We can't read that.
I know you can't. It says, I'd rather be 40 than pregnant.
Fair enough. Yeah.
As it getting towards,
I'd love to be 40.
I would too, no matter what. Yeah. But yeah, I started.
But see, this is where this discussion gets too far. There is gender.
We're going back to that one.
Yes.
Okay. I just want to give you
there is gender.
Hang on a second. The pen is because I'm starting to clean things out of my house sometimes in China. Yeah, what is it? Downsize,
yeah.
Which I gave Lou and my favorite.
Yes.
Kyle Yastrzemski baseball mug.
Yes.
A glass. Oh, there you go. MBLA. There you go. This Kyle. Kyle Yastrzemski.
Rare shot of him without a butt in his mouth.
Nasty. Anyway.
Well, he lived right in North Andover.
I know.
And I'd drive by and see him walking out of the
post with
the convenience store with cigarettes and. He was a smoker.
He's the last triple crown for the.
No, Miguel Cabrera, I think.
For the Red Sox?
Oh, last for the Red Sox, yes.
Yeah. But anyway. Oh, yeah. So back to you were saying about, because I was brought up this young lady, which I forget her name, of course.
So gender is a spectrum. Biology isn't. There's male and female.
That's what she basically said. Yeah.
The whole culture of gender spectrum, fine. Okay. We can have discussion. But biologically, male and female, that's the way it is.
Yeah, I mean, we have...
And there are some that are in between,
structurally,
biologically.
That's what we are, either a male or female. And that's what it is. So
she was in trouble before she got to your show, I hope.
Yeah, certainly afterwards.
So what do you do if you can't ask the skeleton what their preferred pronouns are?
Especially like 2,000 years old.
Yeah. How are you supposed to classify it?
Binary or something. I don't know. Whatever. Unisex. Whatever. I don't know. That's beyond my line.
By the way, you go to Roman times or something. It wasn't even a matter of sexuality because they were just all over the place. Anyway.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Why, you live around then?
No. No, but judging by the artwork and the stories.
Judging by the artwork, okay. Some perverted porno magazine written on the walls.
on the walls, exactly.
Because that's all they had.
On the walls of the Senate.
Or whatever. Oh, well, this surprises you. I mean, go in our Senate. I'm sure you're going to find some.
Yep.
But anyways, so.
But how can you get, that's a bylaw. That's, I don't know. How do you fight that?
I don't know. We'll have to bring Dr. Kim on. Fight it. Well, you can't fight it.
No, I mean, how do you fight the fact that a skeleton is male or female, generally speaking? I mean, there's a small percentage that's probably.
It's a classification of male and female, I think. Okay. It's some, which is rather ridiculous. I'm supposed to, you know, it's like everything else. You can't be discriminatory. So, you know, we couldn't have the swine flu even anymore. It's because, you know, we're discriminating against pigs and bird flu. And
but even from a cultural standpoint, can I be a male?
Chinese flu.
Yeah. Can I be a male even from a gender standpoint? Male and female don't exist anymore. You have to be somewhere in between. Or
I don't know.
What's the deal?
I don't understand it anymore. I mean, I didn't want to get all into deep into this, but I agree with you. You know, it's like, you can be whatever you want to be, but you want everybody to accept the way you think or whatever else. And that's not the way it is. We all have our own things. I mean, if, for instance, and this sounds extreme, but I'm using it because it is an extreme example. We have, like the skinheads, right?
Yeah.
And they believe in white supremacy and everything, right?
Yeah.
So that's a hate group. That's a thing. It's why, so they believe that because why is it a hate group? Because
they don't like it.
Because, yeah, they don't like it.
Well, this is the whole hate speech thing where the First Amendment is, if you're not, that stuff that's First Amendment is specifically designed to protect.
If you're not imposing on somebody else's livelihood, standard of living, whatever it is, you know, taking something away from somebody.
Skinheads kind of are, but yeah.
Well, I used it in the extreme, okay, but only because it was same thing. I remember one thing where a reporter went up to one of the, I was not going to say skinheads because he wasn't a skinhead, but he was a flying the Confederate flag.
Yeah.
And the guy says, why are you flying that flag? It's hateful. He says, no. He says, because they were saying they're all, don't you know, it was like all the South fought for all plantation owners and they were, you know, and it's like, he says, no, my relatives were poor farmers, but they fought for their country and what they believed in. And so that's why I fly this flag. And so it's true. It's his heritage. But, you know, everybody else can have heritage. But if your heritage is against mine, it's no good. I mean, it's like.
Well, what was slavery? It was single-digit percentage of the South, right? Yeah, 6%, whatever you disagree.
And I'm not trying to get into this whole white thing. But go ahead.
That's a perfect example because do you remember most recently, one of the most recent problems is that in certain states, they were trying to ban education about this type of gender discussion in schools with young kids.
Yeah.
Something you should learn at home, right?
Yeah.
Which is fine. I think it's a reasonable position. You know, we have to look into it deeper. So certain books weren't allowed in school systems. All right. And everyone got bent out of shape. We're banning books and doing stuff like that. In the meantime, they were banning the Bible in schools. They were banning the Confederate flag. Yeah. It's not a matter of it's not a matter of banning books. It's a matter of banning the books you like or don't like. That's the difference.
The very point of it.
The principle. Yeah. The principle isn't the same for everything. Mm-hmm. All right. If you don't want to ban books, fine. You know, let people have religious symbols in school and everything. When you get to select what you ban and you don't, and no one else gets to select what they want to ban, that's where we have problems.
Yeah. And you know, there was a thing that was going on just recently in one of the schools. They're allowing little knives to be carried to school by the sheikh, okay?
By the
who? The sheikh, you know, the guys with the head turbans.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what schools? American schools?
It was a Massachusetts school. They were allowing it. And when I first I heard about that, I said, oh, that's stupid. And then they had the guy from the sheikh. He was a sheikh. I don't know, religion or whatever.
Okay.
And he was on there And he's what the first of all, the knife was about maybe that big. Okay. It had a cut, you know, the little curved one that came in a little sheath. All right. So the religion has five symbols that the sheikhs are supposed to wear. And that's one of them that they're supposed to think. So banning that from school would be just like banning the crucifix if you wore a crucifix around your neck.
Exactly.
It would be exactly the same. That's part of the thing. So I changed my mind on that. Originally, I thought, I said, what a stupid idea. You know, they allow it out. It was like, you know, you kind of go against it. But then when you find the reason behind it, you know, you it makes sense.
You can't be selective.
Yeah, they allow it. They have to be dulled and they have to can't be shown. In other words, you have to keep them sheathed and they have to be shown and you have to be in good standing.
Remember in the height of the Trump administration when they went allowing kids to wear American flags to school? Okay. Remember that? I mean, it's selective outrage. And that's the problem. Selective outrage is a problem.
Yeah. So we went off on a little tangent there, didn't we? No, that's all right. It's okay. But, you know, that's the problem with people. It's, you know, you want to be, have your rights, your religion, your whatever, but you don't want other people to have different point of view than you, even point of view. You know, we can take a look at the mess we're in politically because of this, is that the people aren't allowed to be, you know, the one thing that came all out of the 60s and the hippie movement was live and let live. And that's the best mantra in the world. If you're not
until
that
the hippies
person,
got elected, then everything changed.
that's a story. Speaking of that, Oregon is making it illegal for hard drugs now. Again.
For what?
Hard drugs.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's one of those hippy dippy states that passed the thing that legalized hard drugs.
Yep.
Yeah, because
I think the whole hippie movement in the 60s was good until they got elected. And when they got power, then everything went off the rails.
Well, see, they didn't have the education. They were too busy hugging trees like Dr. Kevin.
I liked the hippie movement until they became senators and congressmen.
And governors of states.
Yeah, and governors of states. Then it got to be a problem.
But anyway,
yeah,
it is what it is. But let's, you know, just live and let live. Somebody's not in your house doing something to you. I mean, so it'll get to the point where you can't even say something in your house. You know that, right?
Oh, of course.
You could be brought up on hate crime or whatever.
Yep.
So it's absolutely ridiculous. You know, live and let live. Let's get along. You know, have your points of view and whatever. So, okay. So anyways, the other day, actually yesterday, and I guess it started before that. I put a new light in my dining room, a little.
Okay.
I mean, I did the whole dining room ceiling over, put boards over and put beams in, and I ran a new light that hangs down over the kitchen table. So
pendant light?
It's not really a pendant. Okay. It's more like a chandelier type thing. Only it's inverted. Instead of the lights up, it's down.
Did you add beams?
I put beams in. I put two beams in and all the planking and everything else and the molding on the side and everything else. But anyways, I had to put a switch in for the light, of course. So, you know. But while I was down there, which, you know, you have switchblades. I mean, you have, circuit breakers.
Circuit breakers.
Yeah, circuit breakers. So you had to find out which one you were drawing the power from and shutting it off before you ran wire in.
Always
and all
good.
That stuff. Yeah. So I got to thinking about that. And I had thought about this, you know, some time ago. And that, you know what, it's always hard if you have to do something to go and look and see where that breaker is. You know, they have devices and stuff now. So I thought of this and I said, well, you know what I'll do is I got my P-Touch labor and I shut the power off and then I rewired and everything else. And then all the places where the power was out, all the outlets and whatever, I took the plates off, the switch plates, the plug plates and everything else. And I put the number of the circuit breaker on. So
smart.
When you go to look at anything, if you're replacing something, you can go and look at that and
you know
exactly which breaker to trip.
Good idea.
Yeah. So I did that. And then I put a new switch in the bathroom. We had an old dimmer. It was there. It's probably 30 years. So it was starting to go. It was a little wanky. So I put a new, just a plain switch in. We don't really need dimmer in the bathroom, but, Anyways.
I love dimmers.
Yeah.
I'd have dimmers everywhere.
Yeah, LED is tough with dimmers, though.
I know.
Yeah, that's the problem.
I hate LED.
So. Yeah, I do, too.
Yeah.
LED is, it's bad for your eyes, I hate to tell you.
I don't like them. They don't make me comfortable.
That's because they're light. Yeah. They're a different type of light. It's not a warm, soothing light like, you know, other ones are. Although they're getting better and better. In fact, when I put this chandelier on, or whatever you want to call it, light over the kitchen table, I didn't put LED bulbs in, and I put CF bulbs in.
Yep.
Which you can get like the bright white or the soft light or whatever, yep, though. So, which is, you know, a better light. It's a dimmer light. Yeah, I have one of those on my nightstand in my bed too, because I like the dimmer light. I don't like light, I hate to tell you. So I'm sitting here with two bright lights on my
face.
I agree. Absolutely.
Yeah, no, I'm
hate
with
it.
You. Yep.
So, anyways, so I did that, which is, you know, it's a pretty smart idea, and if I say so myself. But well, it is a really good idea for doing it. And so I did that circuit, and I did the circuit I worked in the bathroom. So as I do each one of them, I'm going to do up probably, if I have time, sometimes I'll just strip one off and go around changing them all. But anyways, so I did that. So today I was on the Facebook, and we get the reels, like Dr. Kim's reels. I told you, yep, I saw Dr. Kim's reel, which is, if you haven't seen Dr. Kim's show, check it out. She's got a lot of advice. You know, you don't have to love everything she says, but, you know, she's got some good advice, and she's got years of experience. Mm-hmm. She's a very accomplished psychologist. And check out her show. Which
with a doctorate, so she's a little bit beyond a psychologist.
And whatever.
An Olympic gymnast. And yeah.
Yeah. Down to earth. Down to earth person, a person you can relate to, I think, anyways.
Your daily game face.
Your daily game face is better than in your face. Next time we have a show, that's going to open up that way.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Host of In Your Face?
In Your Face. No, I'll open the show up that way. This is, so it'll be my show. Oh, in Your Face.
Welcome to In Your
In
Face.
In Your Face with Dr. Kim Lin. thank God she can't hear this. She's going to kill me. Oh, she won't come on the show.
Oh, she will.
Anyway, yeah, she's great personality. So, yeah, so these reels, so that's what I got to. Boy, did we digress.
Yeah, that was a long way around.
Yeah. So I'm watching the reels this morning, just flipping a few of them on as I go through. And all of a sudden, this guy comes on. He says, and they have home improvement ones too, which I like.
Yep.
You know, I like those as well. So they had this guy on, and he's an electrician, and he was talking about, well, yeah, if you take the light plates and you number the breaker on it, then you go to work.
Oh, really?
It. Yes. Now,
that's funny.
It's strange, right? Because I thought of that idea. No one told me that idea, right? That came in my own little brain. I didn't see it somewhere. I didn't hear it anywhere. I thought of it. Okay.
I think I know the answer to it, but did you watch this on your desktop or on your phone?
On my desktop.
Okay.
Why?
No, because I'm just wondering if your phone played a part, because they've gotten very good at picking up things you say. Like if you said that, if you described that,
oh yeah,
it comes up in the search items.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't.
I've got some, you know, lately. I've got some instantaneous.
No. Really instantaneous?
Instantaneous. Like I've got my Google News feed. We'll be talking about something. I'll look at my feed and it's what we're talking about right
now.
Son
of a bitch.
Yep.
Big Brother's listening.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's sad, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it was the whole, when we went through the whole vaccine thing and everyone's talking about putting trackers and chips in the vaccine, I guess they don't have to. You have a phone, right? They got,
among other things,
they got all kinds of
Alexa.
Information. Yeah.
Yeah. Someone, I was talking to Jim Stonia last night at the Red Light Seance, and he was saying he was calling this on the phone about this place for, because he booked a cruise,
mm-hmm,
and they got back to his desktop. And at work, and there was ads for cruises.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, they don't listen to us, not at all.
Oh, no, they listen to us constantly.
Yeah. Good luck with me. Suffer for it. So anyways, I started thinking about that. And, you know, there are other examples of stuff that I thought of, right, that became normal, like the modern method of making pudding.
Okay.
I came up with that idea.
Did you?
Yeah. And now it's printed on, well, it used to be printed on the box. I don't know if they still do it, have it anymore. But it used to be, it was called the Modern Method Making Pudding, and it was, should have been Ron's way.
Ron's Method Making Pudding.
But anyways.
Give me the synopsis of that.
Of what?
The Ron method of making pudding.
It's just a different, you're using the same thing. I mean, so you got milk and pudding ingredients, so you just, it's how you do it, you know?
Okay.
Yeah, so.
All right.
It was just the, you warm the milk, you milk, you poured it in slowly. It wasn't like, you know, at that time, it wasn't the way that was described on the pudding packages.
Yeah.
Okay. But the funny part about it is they actually put my way of making on it on the pudding boxes as well as the regular way.
Yep.
So it's just kind of funny. But you start thinking about that, and how does that relate to the paranormal, right? So then I started thinking about, okay, all these, one of the big things that occurred is the different cultures coming up with the same stuff,
right,
or same designs. It's like, oh, see, there must have been cross culture they sent over and everything.
Ancient aliens.
Yeah, ancient aliens, yeah. Or whatever. Or they traveled from Egypt to there because it's the same.
Yeah. They both had hawks in their hieroglyphics. Must be ancient aliens.
See, that's the thing is that, you know, we have this independent thought. We have this, is a word for this, by the way. I can't remember it, of course, but it's thinking of the same idea from, you know, two different parts of the world.
Places. Yeah. Yep.
And it happens. It really does happen. So a lot of the stuff that we mark off as paranormal or ancient aliens or any of this stuff. And by the way, paranormal and aliens are in the same group.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's called paranormal. You can look up aliens and Bigfoot, and that's all that same grouping. So
do you file this under human nature, or do you file it under paranormal?
You file it on independent thought. You file it on who we are.
Yeah, who we are, human nature.
Yeah,
yeah.
Okay, human nature. And so we love to make these almost like, you know, the conspiracists, right?
Yep.
That's basically what it is. It's people that have things so they don't accept the normal point of view or the given point of view. So they come up with their own point of view, which sometimes is more ridiculous. I remember having Dr. Karen O'Keefe when he came over here and I hosted him. He was saying on Most Haunted, you know, because they would have the incidents that occurred in Most Haunted, and then at the end of the show, he would be there and he would give his explanation, the psychology. And I remember one time he was talking about like a something that occurred, and he said, well, it must have been a supersonic budgie, like a bug, you know, super fly, whatever it was, or something like that.
Yep.
And so that was so ridiculous, but that was his explanation. So it's a lot of that's like the conspiracy theories. They don't accept anything, so they just... Yeah, I don't know.
Oh.
It's who we are. We just want to be looking for something secret, something deep, something.
Well, I think what humans suffer from a lot, especially in these areas that you and I swim in all the time, mm-hmm. is they are susceptible to the answer that they want. They think they want an answer. Like you and I think are similar, like we want an answer. But I think most people want the answer. They don't want any answer. They want the answer they want. So there's all kinds of confirmation bias involved. They only look at things that support their outcome and stuff like that. I think people fall victim to a preferred outcome, and many of them aren't even aware of it. But I think I know I deal with it all the time. It's like, have you really thought that through, or is that the answer that you want? You know?
And it's true. I mean, it's, you know, very much true. It's like...
The ancient alien thing is perfect.
Yeah.
People who want flat Earth, perfect. People who want the flat Earth outcome use confirmation bias to pick the things that supposedly support the flat Earth.
Exactly.
They don't want the answer. They want their answer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
and again, sometimes it's subconscious. It's not always malicious, but sometimes, you know, sometimes it is.
But you have that in corporate world too.
Of course.
Yeah. You know, you have the boss will say, oh, this is the way, you know, something like that. And you're sitting there saying, no, that's not right. It's like, you know, but you don't open your mouth because he's the boss.
Yeah.
So you just keep your mouth shut and you're letting a fallacy go by because you're too afraid of him to speak up.
or you put up a better way to go about it or a better way to do it, and they stick with what they want because they want that outcome.
Yeah, that could be the
their outcome.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I think we deal with that all the time.
I do too.
Yeah.
So we got to get Dr. Kim on here and throw a lot of this crap at her. She would be very good at this.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I think when you've got people, you must run into it all the time. When you're dealing with the paranormal, you get people who want the outcome of it doesn't exist, and people who want the outcome that it does exist, and they work just as hard to get there. When, you know, you got to try to be a person who wants, I want the outcome. I don't want my outcome. I want the outcome, right?
Or at least you want to entertain all thoughts. I think you do as well as I do. I mean, when I started doing this, you know, I've said this 1,000 times, is that I was going to either prove or disprove the paranormal. Then I still soon realized that people would, no matter what would happen. So there are some people, a ghost would come up to them, slap them across the face, and they would deny it.
Yeah.
And other people that, you know, a wind whisk go by and say, I felt cold. The window's open right there. There's a wind out there. Oh no, it was a ghost. So it's the same way. Well, you believe what you believe. So after that, I decided, you know, as an investigator, I would simply share my experiences, and you can make up whatever you mind it. But I don't, you know, it's a lot of stuff I don't believe in, of course. But just because I didn't believe in them, at least you got to understand them. If you don't try to understand them, then you know, you're just as worse as something that's
stupid. Boy, you and I battle, and humans battle in general, and in your field, it's got to be particularly tough. Is humans like to wrap things up in a bow. They want an answer. They can't leave it open. And that's one thing I've tried to learn over the years. It's like, you know what? I don't know.
You're very good at that. I give you credit that you're very, very good at that.
Well, it's something you really have to work at, because as humans, we want to tie everything up. We want to make sure it all fits in a box. We want to understand it. Our bliss comes from understanding. So when there's a situation, we look at it, go, I can't figure that one out. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm just going to leave it there for now. You know, that's a great skill to have, because more often than not, that's the answer, especially in some of the things that we talk about all the time. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, it's strange. I mean, you know, I think I brought this up the last show anyways, that, you know, people said, well, you know, what really is proof that you, you know, makes you believe in that? I says, I really don't know. Because I've become so... like an investigator, like a CNSI investor, I don't get involved in it. I just collect the evidence. I'm just look at things and share those things. So it's not what I believe personally or not. I really don't know at times. And that's quite the thing. Do ghosts exist? I don't know. I really don't. I've seen 3 apparitions. I've seen other, had amazing experiences.
Yep.
But is that to me proof that there are people, dead people walking around in another thing? I don't know. I really don't. I can't tell you that's true.
That depends on your definition of that too, by the way.
Of what?
Of dead people walking around. I always go back to it because it's one of my favorite stories we've done on the show. We took a caller from a woman who would smell her father's pipe.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, you know where that's coming from. That's mm-hmm. internal.
Yeah.
But by the same token, is it? It's like this memory and this existence of this person is coming back to you in a very real way, because he's in your thoughts now, to the point where you're smelling his pipe. Is he walking around in your life? He kind of is.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I don't know if that's the definition of a ghost, but we have people that we've lost that come back in our daily lives that show up, right? That actually walk around our lives. It's not like they're sitting down across the table from you, but she smelled his pipe. She's thinking of him. Mm-hmm. She's thinking of something she said. His advice is going into her decision-making. He's there, right? I think that's our afterlife to a large extent.
To me, everything that I own is a ghost of my past. Or a past. So, for instance, I'm terrible with names. I can't remember anybody's name, which is horrible. But all my tools, I know where I've gotten those tools from. You know, brother-in-law who now passed gave me this hammer when I first moved into my house. Your mother gave me this caulking gun for my birthday one year. It's like I know where all these came from. Not only that, but other objects in my house that I own as well that, you know, I know where they came from. So it's like,
Well, everything we think,
it's like those are really connected to my past.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everything we think and see is a product of our past. I kid with my kids all the time. It's like, because they use sayings that I used to use when they were growing up, and they're going to be doing it with their kids. And it's like, that's going to be me coming back.
That's
my
true.
Influence. That's part of it. We're all the product of our past.
So they say, you know, reincarnation, we are other people, but we are other people, but not necessarily through reincarnation.
Right.
We are other people through, what were you saying? Whatever that,
just,
you know, passing things on and
yeah.
so forth. Yeah. So, and that's how man, I mean, that's how man, we learn things. That's the with things. I mean, we, you know, we know not to put our hand in the fire, and it's not that we go and test it and find it, or even we know we've been taught that. People say, oh yeah, you don't put your hand in the fire.
Yeah.
And there, you know, even in some instincts, and in, oh God, don't, please don't bring up the bear in the back.
The bear in the back of the cave. This that's what you're talking about. The bear in the back of the cave.
In reality, we know that, but the reason is how we know it is another story. Yeah, so it's interesting. So should we take a short break?
We can take a short break.
Yeah. All right, so you're listening to Ghost Chronicles Morning Edition right here on the net. We'll be right back after the following messages. We'll take your calls, too, if you want to call in.
Do you have a paranormal event, book, or something else you want people to know about? Then why not advertise it on Ghost Chronicles Radio? With over 150,000 downloads a month, get your message out to an audience that's interested in the subject. We have a plan at a cost that fits your needs. For more information, contact Ron Kolick at anyghostproject@comcast.net or call 978-455-6678.
Are you seeing a ghostly apparition every time you look in the mirror? Are you terrified to realize that that pale, lifeless, lack of energy form hovering before you is in fact you? How would you like to be transformed? Healing begins from within, and it's never too late to start feeling good. Are you curious? Interested? Good. Don't wait another minute. Visit transformyourlifenow.org or contact Maureen. The email address is maureen@transformyourlife.org.
Everyone is cashing in on social media, and all marketing roads lead through social media. If you want to make a splash here in the Merrimack Valley, you need to tap in. This is where the new CEM Podcast Studios come in. Of course, you can spend your time, energy, and money learning how to wrangle technology to make a podcast instead of running your business. Or you can invest in telling everyone in the Merrimack Valley, Massachusetts, New Hampshire, Maine, the Seacoast, or everywhere in the world about your great business, product, service, or yourself. The CEM Podcast Studio is a local audio and video studio dedicated to the craft of podcasts. Their studios feature state-of-the-art recording and mixing equipment designed specifically to produce the best audio and video podcasts. Best of all you need to worry about is your show, your business, and your brand. We do the rest. Call 978-686-9966. That's 978-686-9966 to schedule a no-obligation tour of the CEM facilities and meet with a podcast specialist. Or go to cempodcast.com to find out more about podcasting services. cempodcast.com, your window to the world.
We're back. Welcome back to Ghost Chronicles Morning Edition.
You forgot you were taking us back.
I forgot I was taking us back. Oh, we were off for a while.
I asked Maureen to do that, right, when she does the show. The Next yeah. Generation show, I have alternating co-hosts. I have Leslie Martin, Marla Brooks from California, and she's a West Coast witch, and she has her own show, Stirring the Cauldron. Leslie Martin, of course, is an investigator with me and wrote Medium Rare. And then I have Maureen Wood, who is a longtime investigator and writ three books with me.
She read them.
And also the blonde bombshell, Ann Kerrigan, as well. So anyways, when I always ask Maureen to bring us back after the break, we're back. That's it.
Thank you.
I never know what to say.
Welcome back.
Anyway.
Do you remember the discussion we had? I was just relating this discussion a couple of days ago. I think it was about Franklin Pierce. And you're wondering why everyone always saw Franklin Pierce as this guy in a powdered wig and knickers and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I think because whatever signals we're getting, I think it goes through the filter of our knowledge. And we don't think of Franklin Pierce as an eight-year-old. We think of him as how we picture he would be, right? We have our own constructs. And I think that's the thing with a lot of these sightings and things like that. We put them into our constructs. It's stimulus. And then our mind puts it together because our mind likes to figure out what it is the stimulus is telling it.
Right.
So it adds stuff.
So anyways, I want to mention for the second half of the show, and only in the second half of the show while this is on, you can call in at 978-659-0072. That's 978-659-0072. I didn't transpose those numbers. That's freaking awesome.
And make sure you're watching live, by the way.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're calling another show.
Why? You can do that, too. That'll surprise them.
That'll surprise them, yeah.
Yeah, you get a call in on Dr. Kim's show. That would be funny. Yep. That would be funny. Maybe I'll do it. Hi, it's Rona.
She's never taken a phone call. I don't know if she knows she can. But
yeah, well, most people don't. You know, that's the one thing I miss from
AM.
Early AM.
Yeah.
I would love to get a live show again going on. I don't know if people listen to AM anymore.
Not so much.
In Spanish, right? Mostly.
But we can do it here in StreamYard, and we can put the you can interact. We can do phone calls, of course, but you can interact through comments.
I know.
And go up to
but the, it was local before. Remember, you just always had the local calls coming in. It was a lot of fun. I miss it.
That's why I like the first segment of the show. Is harking back to my daily talk show days.
It's the early, it's the early talk show radio, which was awesome.
Talk radio was great. Yeah,
I loved it. But anyways,
general talk radio is dead, isn't it? Except for NBR.
Sports talk.
Sports, yeah, but that's sports, yeah.
Yeah, sports general talk.
General talk.
I can't even remember who.
Local's certainly gone.
Yeah.
With all the stations being bought up and,
Nope. I don't know. I give Pat credit. I don't know how he stays afloat.
Well, so he's a radio genius. He's got a lot of stuff going on.
He is. So, you know, if you... But anyways, speaking about, I was saying about objects and how they remind us.
Yep.
One of the things that I absolutely love, and this is psychometry. And in fact, I'll be doing a workshop at Circles of Wisdom in May. If you go to their website and look, put my name in, I'm sure it'll come up. But it'll be a psychometry workshop. And psychometry, if you don't know, is the reading of an object. In other words, you hold a real object in your hand. And when you do that, you get certain vibes, as I like to call them, or energy, as other people call it. But you're able to read something from that object. Something.
Yep.
Okay. So that is, to me, such an intriguing thing because... we do different exercises in this workshop and everything else. And it's been amazing. People are able to find out a lot of information.
Mm-hmm.
It's really intriguing because, you know, like I said, we should try this on you sometime.
Yeah, we can try it. Mm-hmm. I've never done well in these on-air experiments. But
maybe when Dr. Kim's on.
Yeah.
You'll have her do it too. See how much of a psychic she is.
Now, do you test it against things that you know about the object, or are you just seeing what everyone comes up with?
Okay. That's really two phases, all right?
Mm-hmm.
The first phase is you know certain things about the object, so you're able to say, okay, that makes sense, da-da-da-da, right?
Yep.
Okay. Fine. To me, it's the other part. The part that maybe it doesn't think fits the object, but yet that person got that vibe. So maybe there's another part to the story that we don't know about. You know what I mean? It's like there's more to like one thing when you go, oh yeah, this came from that, and that came from that. It's like, no, there's stories behind it. So that's the part, honestly, that intrigues me most. And I always say, whenever you do this, it's not whether you're right or wrong. That's not important. It's your right because this is your impression that you got from this particular object. And it's really amazing what people come up with. And I find that part of it fascinating. But
is it parallel or similar to a tarot card or to tea leaves or?
I don't think so.
Well,
I
you're
think
drawing, it, you're using it to spark your personal.
But no, because you're picking up on something specifically. In other words, this, yeah, it's in reality, is it a tool? Yes. But it's, no, I take that back. It's not really a tool. It's really the object. So in other words, it's not really a something you use to get to a point, but rather the point. So when you hold that object, you're able to get certain vibrations. Now, you can't say it to me. You can't say it's right or wrong. That's the impressions you're getting from it.
Right.
And it can be anything. You know, it can be very simple from a, you know, a color, a thought, even an emotion,
yep.
To something very vivid. So it's really a fascinating topic. I love it. I've done it so many times with great results as well. And then I have another class that I haven't scheduled yet, but it's called photopsychometry.
Okay.
Which is even more fascinating.
I'll bet, yeah.
Because you take a photograph and you're able to pull out information about whatever's in the photograph. If it's a person, you're able to pull out information about that person. Now, you're not even holding this. You're just seeing this with your eyes. Mm-hmm. So it's a different connection. And I absolutely love that. To me, it's fascinating. I did a class during the pandemic with the Circles of Wisdom, and it was amazing what the people work. And one of the things we did at the end of the class is we all worked together, not me because, you know, I was the monitor, but they were able to work together and give it, paint a total picture of a particular thing and everything, which was awesome.
Yeah.
And that was so much information that is really hard to figure out how they get that information. So, I mean, it's amazing. It's fascinating.
Yes, but that's like fun. Yeah.
Psychometry is a lot of fun. It really is. To me, it's interesting. Maybe we get Dr. Kim in here. We'll have her try it too. Because she's a medium, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that what she says?
Yeah, I thought so. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I mean, the story about her hiking up the trail with the crazy guy.
Yep.
Yeah. 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 So. I mean, we all have, I don't know if we like to call it medium or psychic or whatever it is.
That puts labels on it.
Yeah, that's the problem. We put labels on everything. But, you know, is this going back to that same thing with the beer in the cave thing? You know, God, I hate that freaking analogy.
Why?
It's stupid.
It's perfect.
Stupid.
Perfect.
Stupid.
We're the descendants of the people who always thought there were bears in the back of the cave.
No, we did. We were the people who went in and killed the bear, ate it, and stayed in the cave all during the winter. Everybody else starved to death.
So when this happens, like to take photopsychometry, is this internal or external or a mixture of both?
Don't know. That's the intriguing thing about it.
Because while you're talking about this, I'm thinking we all had this experience with classic rock, with lyrics of songs.
But songs that mean something to us in a particular point in our lives, whether it's personal or environmental. In other words, you know, we can hear a song and then we think about, oh, you know, it was the hippie movement. It's like, you know, it's like that. Oh, I remember, like, you know, I smoked my first joint back then.
Well, that's connection, and songs are very good for that. They bring you back to a place in time. But lyrics are sitting there. You can have the same lyrics and three people are going to come up with different interpretations of those lyrics because it's based on their
the
own
same thing.
Yeah.
No, it's based on the real thing, just like every one of these songs are. I mean, you hear a song and, okay, so you don't even know the words. You just hear the music, right?
Right.
And that means something to you already. So it's just like, okay. And we know that music can change you emotionally.
Yeah.
Right? You know, so that's why we sometimes turn up the music and play happy music because we're driving in our cars and like to disturb the neighbors and stuff, but that's fine.
Music takes us to places.
It takes us to places.
Yeah.
Farther than drugs will ever take you, by the way.
Oftentimes, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And it can bring you down, too. It really can.
Depending on where it's taking you. Yeah.
If you get a slow, sad song, sometimes you can go in that direction. Yeah. Or it means something to you once again.
Yep.
Once again, that's sad, and you think of something else. It may not even be associated with that song. But the sadness or whatever of the song, you know, brings you to someone else.
Stimulation, sight, sound, smells.
Stimulation.
They take us places because they start to trigger memories.
Which is what the paranormal does, I think. I think we
I think it's a large part of it.
I really do. I mean, it's so much important that we think that everything we see, hear, smell, listen to, or whatever, it goes through us. It goes through our filtered brain. And who are we? Okay. Are we the skeletons of just strictly male and female? Are we something beyond that? Most people say we're beyond male and female. We're binary or trigeneral, dichot, whatever. It's the psychic. It's who we are. It's not really our physical makeup, but our mental makeup, our spiritual makeup.
That's where you have to get. And I call it the observer position. And it's very important to realize that our body, whether that be our sexuality, yep, whether that be our gender, whether that be our skeleton, our mind even, mm-hmm, is our body. It's a vehicle. We are something beyond that. And that's you have to get in touch with, and you have to separate it. Too many people live in their mind. You know, it's the difference between saying, I feel angry or I am angry. No, you're not angry. You feel angry because, mm-hmm, your mind is barking at you.
Know what you need and what you want.
Yeah. But your mind, living with your mind on a daily basis, yeah, your mind is not there to make you happy. It's to keep you alive. And so that's what it's doing. It's keeping you alive. It's barking at you all the time. It's like taking a walk with your dog.
But you don't listen to it all the time.
Yeah, but not everybody has gotten that concept. They listen to their mind all the time. They think what their mind is thinking is what's reality. And it's not
true. Well, it is the reality.
Well, no, you can separate yourself. You got to understand that the mind is...
It's your reality if you accept what you just said. You accept everything the mind says. So that mind is the reality.
Yeah, but you can't be that way. You can't accept everything the mind says.
Unfortunately, everything we do is our reality. It is our reality. Whether you and I can look at the same object and see different things. We know that. We look at art, and people see art differently all the time. Oh, well, this stupid colored dress there. Remember that?
The dress? The stupid colored dress.
Remember the stupid colored dress? Yeah. Everybody, they will swear to you in a Bible that that's that color, right?
Yep.
So that's their reality, isn't it?
But just to go back to the beginning of this, to loop it around,
there was a beginning.
Your woman and the people who are angry at her for saying it's a male or female skeleton,
yeah,
they are in their minds thinking, their mind is telling them this is a problem. They're all worked up by it. They think it's a threat. They're excited.
It's a threat to whatever I believe in.
Don't listen to your mind. Mm-hmm. You're separate. You're not your mind. Your mind is just barking at you because he thinks you're threatened.
But in reality, you are your mind.
No, you aren't. That's what you have to find.
See, I disagree with you on that.
You have to find that separation. Well, no, I don't think we disagree. I think I just our definition of these things is different.
Terminology?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think so. Maybe that would be it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The mind is telling you, and you're in the woods at night, and the mind is telling you a wolf is stalking you,
mm-hmm,
right? That's your mind. You have the ability to reason beyond that and say, no, I'm all right. There's no wolves around here.
Yeah. But if it comes to a point where that reasonable is no longer, it's been suppressed. It's no longer,
or you and I will never, can you be hypnotized? Have you ever been hypnotized?
No, I doubt it.
I can't be hypnotized.
I doubt it. I mean, I seriously doubt it. I would never tried it, but
you put one of those reality helmets on, right? You're never going to walk into a wall because of that, because your mind is too separate from what all the stimulus that you're bringing in and how the mind's interpreting it. Yeah. You've created that separation. Not everybody has. Some people will put that, you know, reality helmet on, and they'll walk into a wall, they'll, you know, trip over something because they haven't
tons
separated.
Tons of videos all over the place on that.
Yeah, they haven't separated their mind from, you know,
yeah,
they haven't created that separation.
But that's the way we are. We each of us are individuals. I mean, we've talked about this in the show, the difference between men and women a lot of times. It's that women seem more, oh my God, how am I going to say this without offending people?
Forget it.
They're more narrow-minded on visualization rather than the broad picture. Men can see everything at once, I think, or I can anyways.
Okay. It's all a little generalized and a little tilted for me. But
a simple thing.
Yeah. Give me an example.
Simple thing. The other day I went out and I got a wheelbarrow and picked up twigs in the yard, twigs and branches and logs out of my yard.
Yeah.
Right. And came to the back. Now the wheelbarrow was, as deep as it was that high piled up, right?
Yeah.
And I parked it on the side of the driveway. I mean, not 20 feet away, like 4-6 feet maybe away from the side of the driveway.
Yep.
Okay. My wife was out. She had a mammogram. She got a breast check. Flat.
Okay.
Thank God I don't think
we all know. We all know how that works.
Efforts. Yeah. I wouldn't do it.
Yep.
I know a guy that had it done.
Really?
That is really painful because you ain't got crap.
I know.
Oh. It's like a penis press.
Okay. It's a path we didn't need to take.
Anyways. Okay. Yeah. See, I digress.
Yeah.
So this wheelbarrow stacked full of stuff in the drive. I mean, it's a regular size wheelbarrow, big. And my wife got her mammogram. She came back, pulled in the driveway, went in the house. Did she see that?
Didn't see it.
Didn't see it at all.
Yeah, you think that's a male-female thing?
She went out again. She went to the library the next day. I told about that I had picked up logs in it. She went to the library, came back. Did she see it?
No. I know some guys who'd be like that, too.
She's concentrated, yeah, driving thing and getting home.
Yep.
I want to be fed, especially women. Don't get between women and food. That's a bad, bad thing.
Yeah, okay.
I'm just saying, that's not a bad thing. I mean, it's a bad thing for a man to do, yep, to try to, yeah. You ever been around a woman when she's hungry? Don't bother.
I'm not going to assign gender to that. I think there are people like that who wouldn't see the thing. I think there are guys who wouldn't see that either.
I don't think so.
No.
Well, I don't know. I should say, I think you would, wouldn't you?
I'd like to think so.
Yeah, I mean, you're observant of your surroundings, aren't you?
I try to be.
All the time, I am. I'm just constantly. I mean, I know when things are out of place. I know. I can see.
That's a big part. I'm an observer. That's a big part of my personality.
You and I. Yeah. But yeah, so all right, we'll take that. We're going to take that gender label off that lady. So I was wrong. Okay. I'm saying I'm wrong. Okay.
Okay. So let's talk about this. Why are you?
There are some people that.
Why are you an observer?
I have no idea. I know because of my curiosity about everything in life. No, I want to know everything and learn everything.
Because of your fear.
No.
Yeah, it's fear-based.
Oh, bullshit. Don't give me that. It's curiosity.
I want to see what's coming.
Fear. Yes, probably. Yes, that's going to affect us.
I want to understand the social situation I'm in. I don't want to be blindsided. I want to be on top of the situation.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't think it's
okay.
It could be. I can see where, yes, some of it may be fear-based. All right, I'll give you that. But
I don't want to be blindsided. I hate being blindsided.
It's thinking of knowing, and I don't know. I like to know things. And I do too.
Because I don't like to be blindsided.
Okay, that's fair enough. That's fair enough. Yeah. All right, I'll go with that.
I think it's anxiety-based.
No.
I want to figure it out.
No. I'm not.
No, you're not.
Suffering from anxiety.
You're not an anxious person.
Oh, my God, please.
I want
coffee.
I don't want to be surprised by things. I want to figure things out.
This is true.
I like to. And by the way, that's control. That's wanting a little bit of control.
I don't know why. Don't you want to understand things?
Yes.
Okay. Just calling it blindsided. I'm calling it understanding. I want to understand what things work. Or how that happens, and which
I
is why
understand,
I'm doing
so. I'm not surprised. Yeah.
You always tag that little line on there. I don't think.
Well, that's
need
the
it.
That's the base reasoning of it.
Says you.
Okay.
First it's anxiety, now it's fear, and it's like.
Well, I mean, how about those are strong
curiosity?
Yeah, I guess
understanding is like I don't know.
Sometimes it is that.
I mean, it's got to be more than anyways, because we can. I mean, like I said, I can tell when things are out of place and everything. It's just. I don't know. It's intriguing.
Does it make you uncomfortable?
What?
Things are out of place?
No, curious. I'll just go and look, or I'll say that. You know, I mean, it's just, I don't know what it is. I can't tell you. I think it's curiosity. It's why has that been moved, or why is that out of place? Or, that's what I think anyways, but I could be wrong.
No, and I'm not putting it on you. I'm more explaining my own actions.
I could be an anxious little wimp. I could be.
Anxiety doesn't mean you're a wimp.
Well, sure. Yes, it does. So why do we have, why do we seem like we have less and less respect for human life now?
Give me an example you're citing. I'm not saying you're wrong, but what is specifically are we talking
just
about?
Just anything, everything in daily life. Go driving. Go drive your car.
Yeah.
All right. See how much aggression is out there.
I think it's less. No, because
I'm
not going to confront that. It's because we're more concerned about our own lives than other people's lives. Generally speaking.
Other people's lives don't matter.
Generally speaking.
Yeah.
Yep.
Black lives matter? Nobody's lives matter, according to some of these people. Right. It's quite simple. And it's not, it just doesn't make sense. But anyway, I didn't want to go down that path because we were pretty much running out of time, right?
Yep.
All right. So anyways, we hope you enjoyed the show. It was a little bit different. Well, I'll give you a couple things before I do go.
Okay.
And this is from the Eagle Rag. They used to call those rags back in the day, right?
They're our partners now, so.
Yeah, I know, but I love Eagle Chicken.
Be careful.
I pay $40 a month for this stupid paper, so don't.
Do you? Oh, my God.
Jan likes the crossword puzzle.
There are online crossword puzzles.
I know. She doesn't like doing them on you.
Yeah.
She used to take them and print them.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You can make a copy?
No, not make a copy. Go online and print them.
Oh, go on and print them. Okay.
And print them.
Fine.
Rather than doing the one in the paper.
No, I can see that.
I don't, because it cost me a freaking fortune in ink.
That's true. Yeah.
Thank God you got blocked out of the site for some reason.
That's a problem.
I haven't gone in there to fix it for her, but no, it's getting fortune. Because they have like two or three crossword puzzles, so she can't just do one.
Oh, there's a ton of them.
Yeah, I know it. So
they're all over the place.
All right. So, anyways, today, we were talking about this early in the show. In 1973,
yes, I remember it well,
the first handheld portable telephone was demonstrated for reporters at the New York City street corner by Motorola executive Martin Cooper, called Joel's S. Eagle of what? Called Joel S. Eagle of Bell Labs. Oh, he called
Joel.
Oh, cool. That Bell makes sense. It's like, what the frick is that? So you blame him. So imagine the first thing. Do you remember the first?
I don't know. I kind of remember the big bags.
The big bags. You had the huge bags. Ass battery thingy, and you had to take them out of your car because people would steal them. Like, they were like. Argh.
So what did they have at that point? Did they have like one tower over there so he could call into Bell Labs?
I have no idea.
How did they have this set up?
I don't know.
I mean, I'm guessing they had cell towers like we have now, right? That's how they did
it. I have cell towers. They must have just had something.
Interesting. Then they had them in the, you could take them in the cars.
Then they built cell towers when there was bigger demand.
Big little bag in the
huge ass bag.
Yep.
My brother-in-law had one of those. Was like,
they
oh
had like
God.
The 2-pound cell phones.
That didn't never happen.
They got out of the bag and it was the big white
walkie-talkies, cell phone. Like big World War II.
Yeah, yep. Exactly.
And, you know, what was his name? Oh, I had it and I just lost it. Remember that black and white series in World War II, the TV series?
Not Hogan's Heroes.
No, it was serious. It was, black and white. You got to think of that. Oh,
I know. I'm picturing it, but I can't come up with the name. I want to say Battlefield or Battle.
Something like that. Yeah. It was. Yeah. They had those big walkie-talkies. Sometimes they winded them, remember?
I had to be dragged kicking and screaming to my first cell phone. I did not want a cell phone.
I hate cell phones.
Yep.
I got a smartphone, so I absolutely hate
my
it.
Kids were going to school 40 minutes from home, so I had to have it. Yeah. We all had to have them.
Why do we have to have them? We got along before without them. But you know why? Because the world's changed.
Kids are 40 minutes away.
The world's changed.
I know. Yep.
They're banning cell phones in schools, and there's a big to-do over that now.
Good luck with that.
Well, no, they do it. They've done it.
Yeah.
Lowell's done it. No, I forget who else.
No cell phones in the schools?
They collect them.
Those kids must be up in the arms.
They collect them. Oh, the parents are up. Yeah. What if I want to call them and ask them what they want for supper? You know, it's so disgusting nowadays. I walk through the supermarket doing my grocery shopping, and it's like 16,000 conversations going on as I walk down the aisle.
Oh,
do you want peas or carrots today? Should I buy these? Oh, then hold. Wait a minute. They're actually FaceTiming because they show you the. Okay, here it is, honey. Do you like that? Does that look like a good cut of meat to you, honey?
I understand your position, and you're absolutely right. It's a pain in the ass, but I was in Market Basket yesterday, and I have to be careful about saying I hate old people because I am an old person now.
Watch it.
But
you're looking at one of the oldest people on earth.
Market Basket, I was like ready to take lives.
Why?
It's just the wandering around. Okay, this is a big thing for me. You're in an aisle at a supermarket.
Here we go.
Right?
Okay,
you're in an aisle at a supermarket.
We're going over, by the way.
There's two lanes of traffic there. You cannot take up the whole aisle.
I agree with you there.
Arrange your business so that you're not taking, so people can go back and forth.
Yep.
Right? But they put the basket on one side, they walk across the other side of the shop, and they stand in between them, and nobody can go anywhere.
I agree.
What are we doing?
Oh, they sit there talking.
You should have phases, you know, not phasers, tasers for tasers. That. Should be able to just hit the person.
Okay. On the other side, I had this young woman. Well, young, probably 20s, late 20s, early 30s, down here, chit-chatting, just walking around, stopping in the middle of the aisle, walking, blocking the aisles like you did. I went through the supermarket, ran into her every freaking time. I had to wait until she was done yik-yakking before I could go around her.
No, you can't do that.
Oh, wait a minute. Oh, it gets better. So finally, I did my grocery shop and got out. I'm driving out of the parking lot, and she's still on the freaking cell phone, just walking around right through the freaking traffic. I almost hit her, and I was happy about it.
Then the Newburyport Market Basket,
she looked at me. Why didn't you stop?
Old people, and they have freaking reunions there. They're in the middle of the aisles, and they're just chatting. Oh, how's your grandson?
No, see, yeah, that's not right. I agree with you on that. But, you know, they bust them in, too, by the way.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
Yesterday, I was, like, ready to take a life.
Yeah.
It was so annoying.
I mean, yeah, there's two things. Sometimes you go to the supermarket, you just want to grab something and get out, right? And there are other times you want to shop. There's a difference between grabbing something and shopping.
You can shop and not hold people up.
I agree. I'm not arguing with that, but you have to shop. You know, sometimes you shop, you take time. I mean, sometimes you're at an aisle and you got 16,000 tons of spaghetti sauce and you're looking at one which you should get. So you're going to be there for a couple of minutes.
Old women going over there, 47 grandkids in front of the banana.
We heard that, Lou.
In front of the banana stand. Jesus.
We got to go.
I just want a couple of bananas.
Yeah, I'm going to be instead you in a minute. Stop picking on us old people.
I am an old person.
I agree with it, but it happens to young people too, by the way.
Oh, I know. Oh, you know, you're absolutely right.
All right. So anyways, thanks for listening and to all this trite, whatever it was. And stay tuned for next week when we'll do something else.
That's right.
So good night, everyone. God bless and take care.
From ghoulies to ghosties, long-leggedy beasties, and things that go bump in the night. Deliver us, good Lord.